Hiya, Barbie.
Hi, Ken.
You want to go do a podcast?
Sure.
Jump in.
Ladies and gentlemen, ghouls and monsters, frightmares of all ages, and everyone else, welcome to Binging Barbie. I'm your host, Jay, and with me I have my co-host, the freaky, the beastly, and the downright weird, John.
Yeah, you want to get weird? I'll get weird for you.
If you were a monster, what kind of monster would you be?
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, this is a podcast about movie tie-ins for toy franchises, and this week we are continuing our deep dive into the Monster High series. We will be talking about the 14th movie and the first of the Gen 2 reboot. Welcome to Monster High.
You have the wrong question. Not about what kind of monster I'd be, but what? No, I am a monster. John is a species, a monster.
Okay, I'm the only one there. I see.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Gen 2 reboot. This is quite the controversial time. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, every new generation or reboot of something is always going to be very jarring and very controversial. You know, My Little Pony has 5 different generations, and, you know, it's always jarring when a new one comes in, and there's great debate with each generation, but, you know, it all depends on which one you started watching first, and I'm sure the people who started with this love this, so take it with a grain of salt.
I do think this is slightly more controversial because they did kind of change the aesthetics in addition to
there's a lot of big changes in this one.
And certain of the character dynamics and I can definitely understand why this was maybe a little bit more controversial than most reboots. Controversial enough that it essentially led to the end of the Monster High doll line for several years. But yeah, this was released August 27, 2016. This was actually briefly put out in theaters, and then it hit streaming on September 20, 2016. This was actually not initially the plan they had for the 14th Monster High movie. There's something called the Lost movie, which I was looking into before this, and apparently it was going to be an Ever After High and Monster High crossover. And they had it all storyboarded out and had a lot of the work done before they started animating it, but then Mattel switched focus and wanted to do this reboot instead. So there's a bit of controversy there as well.
Especially at the crossover, man.
Yeah.
It's such a bummer. But okay. Well,
this was directed by Stephen Donnelly and Ollie Reed. Ollie Reed is a music video director, and Donnelly also directed a 2022 adaptation of A Christmas Carol.
Like we needed any more of that.
Yep, and this is directed by Shade Amsterdam, Stephen Donnelly, and Dana Starfield. We've talked about Shade Amsterdam before, and Stephen Donnelly, obviously, the director here. Dana Starfield has worked on the Barbie Dreamhouse Adventures show and also wrote Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3, a movie that will never come up on this podcast again.
Nope, not at all.
And we have production designed by Emily Kelly, who also worked on other Monster High and Ever After High projects, and music by Daniel James, who's mainly a composer for video games. He did the score for Metal Gear Solid 5, along with a bunch of others.
Interesting. So it seems like we have a whole brand new slate of team members here.
Yeah. Shane Amsterdam did write the previous Monster High. But yeah, besides that, we have a lot of new people coming in.
Yeah. Well, let's see how different the stories are for this new generation. So, starting out, we have Draculaura, who lives in an abandoned castle with her father, Dracula, who I don't think we ever saw in the Generation 1
show. No, we didn't.
Okay. They're hiding away from the humans after some event forced all the monsters into hiding. And one day, Frankenstein shows up at their door and befriends Draculaura. The two have an idea to create a school where monsters come together and learn. They renovate the castle and begin recruiting students, slowly building the school into Monster High. Things go well until they get on the wrong side of Monica Decay. Decay decides to run for student body president, promising the students she will declare war on the humans and allow them back onto the world. Draculaura and Frankie instead run on the platform of peaceful integration. And Frankie and Draculaura win, because reasons, but Monica crashes the celebration party, kidnapping famous human pop star Tash to turn her into a monster. What? Was that the plan?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this causes a clash between Monica's army and the students of Monster High. The Monster High students prevail, and Tash reveals she's actually a monster as well. Shocker. They all have a dance party as Monica walks away humiliated.
I like that you decide to call her Monica, like the Disney princess.
Yeah, when I saw your Letterboxd review, that's how I read it, as Monica. And it's just stuck with me. Monica.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, it's an odd origin story for the school, I will say. Draculaura and Frankie being the founders is bizarre. Like, they're quote-unquote teenagers. What do they know about starting a school? But I guess it's a way to semi-naturally bring all these characters together without rehashing of, oh, we were going to school, we meet in high school. It's much more adventurous this way. And you get to see the change of characters from their life before and what we have now, like Claudine and her family just living in the woods or the rocks, and then now they live in this school. Do they all live in the school now? Is that...
Apparently?
I suppose. Frankie...
Yeah.
Lived in a spooky house. I don't know what happened to her father. I don't know what he's up to. Is he still hiding there? I don't know. Apparently, her father is the monster Frankenstein.
Yep.
No.
Well, this was established in the last continuity as well. Because Victor Frankenstein is her grandfather.
Right, but he was a person.
Yeah.
But it's Frankenstein's monster, not the monster Frankenstein, you know? Anyway, the film is... The story is oddly put together. It's solid overall, but it's also, like, weird. You have Draculaura and Frankie get together, and then they decide to start a school. And then there's this other plot with Monica doing her own thing. And it's just, oh. There's also them running for president in between there somewhere. It's something.
It reminded me a bit of X-Men First Class, and that it sort of starts out as, hey, let's get a bunch of people together for our school, and then it switches over to, like, the villain shows up and we get that plot line. But I think what this is really missing is the compelling character dynamics, which we'll get into more when we get to the characters.
I think I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I guess also, like, X-Men First Class, like, the villain story was always going on during the actual film.
Yeah.
Like, from the very beginning. Here, we don't really get into Monica until halfway through the film.
Yeah. And the other thing with X-Men is that you have, you know, Charles and Eric and their relationship as sort of like friends to enemies, which is what makes that movie compelling. As opposed to here, you just have Frankie and Draculaura who never disagree on anything.
Yeah, I suppose. I do like them meeting in this fashion, but then they start to build a school. And then it's just odd and confusing.
I was realizing watching this, I don't care enough about Monster High as an institution to really care about the origin story of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's more interesting as the setting for good stories than it is a good story in itself.
Like, we don't even have Professor Bloodgood here.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, we're missing all of the... We're missing the school, well, not completely, but... Well, and here's part of my issue with it is that... And it's an issue with the other Monster High series as well, where they're trying to present Monster High as, like, this place where everyone gets along. But then it's also still, like, a school. You know, they have classes that are boring and teachers that are boring, and they have bad cafeteria food. So it's like...
They only have two teachers.
Yeah.
Dracula's dad, and then Claudine's mom.
Yeah.
There might be a thing between her and Dracula. I don't know.
Yeah, there seems to be. But yeah, you have these like two different visions of Monster High. And personally, I'm not interested in Monster High as like the beautiful utopia where everyone gets along. I like Monster High as like the school where people have school problems.
I do like the world building aspect of... Okay, here it's established that humans are the main ones in control, and the monsters are in hiding. That was one thing that was never really clear and was kind of contradictory in the previous series. And I'm glad that there's more thought put into this world.
Yeah.
I just don't think that having our two teenage, quote-unquote teenage, characters being the ones to found the school, forcing the father to be a principal and curriculum, create a curriculum. I guess they needed a way to just build their school, I guess.
Yeah, for me, I was feeling like, I'm glad we have a better understanding of the world, but I don't know, it's just too Harry Potter for me, as opposed to the other Monster High movies where they're kind of, I mean, the world building is a whole lot messier, but we have, they're a bit more unique in how they treat the monster world.
I think I'd be more on board with our characters building the school if there was already a school that existed that was destroyed when the humans took over in that great event, and then they find the remains and be like, let's start this school up again. Bring it back to his former glory of monster unity. And then they do that.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They probably didn't think of that. Or maybe too much. I don't know. But
yeah. To me, it just felt very like Hotel Transylvania.
It was very much like Hotel Transylvania. Like straight down the Dracula being who he is. Who and has a very quick transition kind of off screen to his... accepting of things.
Yeah. I don't have a ton to say about the plot as opposed to the characters here.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. I gave the story a 3.5 overall. I don't think, as it's constructed, I think it works. I don't love it, but that's not the biggest issue here.
I gave it a 2.9 because I don't love the way the story is paced as well. It's just, you have montage, then very slow, nothing happening. And then another montage, now we have a villain, whatnot. I don't know. But yeah, 2.9 is what I gave it.
Now, onto the characters. I'll be honest here, they were such a letdown for me in that no one really has a particularly distinct personality.
I suppose. This film is mostly about Draculaura.
Yeah.
Than anything. Everyone else kind of is more one note.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, if you go back to the first Monster High movie, when we were talking about that, we had the same issue there where it's like, who are these people?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe they just have trouble starting things, but there should be more of just, okay, this is their character trait and we're going to follow this character trait for the rest of the film. Instead, they kind of introduced it and then they don't do it again later on.
Yeah. Like, I guess Frankie is the tech savvy one, but that doesn't really
play into anything. That makes me so sad.
Yeah. Because Ghoulia should be here as the tech-savvy one, but no. Now it's Frankie.
I like... See, Ghoulia is also just a very interesting character because she can't really speak normally.
Yeah.
And so she does things through her work, through her being smart, being the one who researches and does everything. And then you give that all to Frankie, who will just say everything and explain everything and just do it. It's like, oh, well, that's not as interesting. But I guess Frankie didn't really have much going for her in the other series because she was just a 16-day-old person.
Yeah.
Who was the audience surrogate. Here she's the smart one who electrifies things.
Yeah, and then Claudine is just kind of... I mean, Claudine, I could never get a handle on what her defining character traits were, even in the old series. But then, like, Laguna, we are finally getting some characterization for Laguna. Here, she's just kind of a little bit sporty. And Cleo is introduced a little bit more like Cleo in the old series, but then she gives up on that.
Well, like, she's also not the focus of the film, so we don't really get to see much about her.
It just felt like, I don't know, I was just missing that Cleo energy.
Yeah. And, like, we don't really have Abby. Like, we do, but we don't.
I don't think that was Abby. I think that's just a random other monster.
But I think that Yeti plus the little ice thing is supposed to be our Abby replacement.
Oh, both of them. Yeah. Which doesn't work because they don't talk or have any personality traits.
But, like, Abby was so fun.
Yeah. Abby and Ghoulia, and, like, these are important characters because they have distinct personalities.
And does Claudine have her sister Howlene or her brother Claude? Or
apparently not. No.
Different families.
Yeah.
Or are they even not here? In Gen 2?
Yeah. Are they like Kelly, Barbie's sister?
I know we get Claude back for the live action one, but
okay,
yeah. I don't know we get him here.
Yeah, because the live action is then Gen 3, so that's even a different continuity than this.
Right.
It's just like all of these characters are just kind of nice and welcoming, and there's no sense, like, to go back to it, because I think it's a good point of comparison, X-Men First Class. You get a sense of who each of these characters are, and there's sort of these dividing lines halfway through the film that are established that, you know, you start to see the differences in how they approach the world. And obviously Monster High isn't going to have that level of conflict in it.
The closest thing we get is Monica and the blob creature, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Job. No, that's not his name. I've just been watching a lot of Arrested Development, so G-O-B looks to me like Job. But yeah, Draculaura is our main character.
She feels the most the same.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
She was missing that sort of, like, drama queen spirit, I think.
Maybe.
Or not even drama queen, but, like, melodramatic. She needs to be a little bit more...
Was she melodramatic in the previous show?
Especially in the earlier ones, she had a bit more... Because, I mean, especially, like, the Why Do Ghouls Fall in Love, where it's all about her relationships and...
Mm.
Yeah. I think you're right, though, that like the last few have been, she's basically faded into the background. So here we're getting a bit more of her, but I don't know. She just kind of feels indistinct from Frankie in the last show, or from even like Barbie.
Okay. Yeah.
Like just kind of stock protagonist in one of these things. I do like the relationship she has with Dracula, which we can talk about when we talk about Dracula. But yeah, I was thinking at the beginning when they were showing off, even just like her learning to turn into a bat, I thought that would be a bigger conflict.
But that's more so like finished right away.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of like those type of moments where you think that that's going to be a bigger thing, but then it's just resolved in that scene itself.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think the father dynamic is a new thing we have for her. It's interesting to see. Kind of glad, even though he's kind of like Drac from Hotel Transylvania. So.
Yeah, this is very like, even the transforming into a bat being like a big part of the plot, which I haven't seen Hotel Transylvania in a while, but I remember that being a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, Frankie is who we have up next, sort of the, she's not really a foil to Draculaura because she doesn't ever go against Draculaura. She's just kind of there as well.
Yeah, she's her little support person.
Yeah,
I guess.
And her defining trait in the, as established well in the last series, was that she challenges tradition. But here there just isn't any of that at all.
In fact, her line in this film is, "I love tradition."
Yeah, it's just like,
but that could just be like her trying to ease the father. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like we're missing that spirit of, and maybe I'm being too harsh on this for not being close enough to the last ones. Hmm. But also, like, she doesn't have any other new traits to replace that here. She's just kind of there.
Yeah, she's there. She's essentially the Ghoulia smart one.
Yeah.
When they need that. And then she can use electricity. And there you go.
Yep. Claudine and Laguna, just no real distinct character traits. And we already talked about Cleo as well, who I like the moment with her calling the pop star's agent and trying to get this pop star to show up to the party. And then she's also trying to get Deuce to set up the lights on the stage. Like, that's a classic Cleo moment, and that's really, besides her introduction, the only Cleo moment we get here.
And Deuce is less of a jock here and more...
Yeah. A bro?
I don't know how to describe him. Like, he's more sensitive in this one.
Yeah.
Which...
More maybe himbo? Not quite there, but...
Yeah, I don't know. He's there.
Yeah.
He's probably, there's no Heath, there's no Taurus or...
No, yeah.
Guy, it's just him. We don't even have the nerd.
Yeah, no, it is... Because, yeah, one of the things I've appreciated about some of these earlier Monster High movies is that they're not just about the ghouls.
Mm-hmm. Which, there's a wider selection of the guys as well.
Yeah.
Here, it seems like we have just him, whoever is supposedly dating Claudine, and then
everyone else
is just kind of different, weird creature designs.
Yeah.
We're getting more unique designs, but they kind of look like... What's that game? Skylanders?
Oh, yeah. I was wondering why they looked like similar, which I never played that, but I saw all of the advertisements everywhere.
Yep.
So. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I don't need the old characters back, but these characters just don't have any bite to them.
They don't have the same oomph to their interactions or what they do. They're so similar in just how they do scenes together.
I'm wondering if it is this thing. Now, I haven't seen the Mean Girls remake that just came out recently, but I've heard quite a bit about it. And one of the biggest complaints I've heard is that the girls are less mean.
Hmm.
They've kind of toned that down to appeal to a younger audience. And I'm kind of feeling that here, like, especially with Cleo. I wonder if this is just kind of, there's a new audience coming in and they're trying to appeal to that audience a bit. I don't know. I don't want to say more sensitive because that sounds, but different sort of tastes and preferences in media. And it just feels like there's a little bit of edge that was lost here.
Maybe.
Like these aren't Hot Topic Monster High dolls. These are like, I don't know what's, I guess maybe these are Hot Topic today, not Hot Topic in 2010.
Yeah, watered down.
Yeah. Defanged. To sure. use a Monster High.
Speaking of fangs, we have Draculaura, who.
Dracula.
Him too.
I like him as the supportive father. That he's willing to go a little bit out of his comfort zone for the sake of his daughter. I think he was going to make a terrible principal.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a little bit too permissive, which works when it's him and Draculaura, because he can keep an eye on her while still allowing her a little bit of freedom. When it's an entire school,
especially if the school is his house, he really should be more strict of, hey, don't do anything with those dishes or these paintings.
I mean, not even that, just like, I cannot imagine this version of Dracula like punishing a student who needs to be punished.
He will try and then they'll do the little googly eyes.
Yeah. It's just like, or even just like saying no to a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because if he can't do it for Draculaura.
Yeah, he just kind of was forced into this role.
Yeah.
Like, he was supportive a bit after getting to know the other monsters, but he was kind of thrust into this. It's like, okay, I guess I'm the principal now.
Yeah. I think if they had brought in Headmistress Bloodgood at some point, that would have been a better choice.
Yeah. I don't know why that change happened, but I guess.
I think they're just kind of like condensing things.
Maybe. There's no mention about a vampire council or monarchy.
Yeah.
It's just the single dad with his kid living in a castle by themselves. Apparently Frankie lived close enough. Apparently Claudine was also close enough.
So yeah, now we should talk about my favorite character. The only character who feels like she has a distinct personality, Monica.
She's a very contrasting personality to the rest of the characters.
Yeah. I just... like, maybe it's just that she's the only one who is different in any way, but I just had so much fun anytime she was on screen.
I feel like she's a much more effective Torelai.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Because she has a clearer goal.
Yeah.
She and does. Just like, you understand her a little bit better than Torelai.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she's just fun anytime she's around. She has an army of zomboys who follow her around.
Zomboys.
Isn't it like a band? Probably. They give off very, like, gay fans of a pop star vibes. And how they, like, follow her around. And I don't know. I just had fun with any time they were on screen. And I was very happy for Monica and her army there. I would have voted for her.
Okay.
Like, bad choice, I know. But she was just fun.
I mean, she has buns, so she can advertise more. I don't have much else to say. She just had a fun screen presence overall. And, well, like we know, she's going to be back in the next one.
So yep.
That should be interesting.
Yeah. Overall, I gave the characters a 1.5 out of 5. Maybe that's a bit harsh, but all of that is for Monica.
Yeah,
and the Zomboys.
When you compare things, definitely things are watered down. For this film specifically, I give it a 3. It does what it does to fill whatever it's trying to do. And it's alright. Nothing special, but it's there.
Now, here's going to be the controversial part.
Yeah.
The visuals.
I think visually, in terms of the animation, it's a much needed upgrade.
Yeah.
It fits. The lighting looks great. The character model, the models themselves, we'll talk about design later.
Yeah.
The models themselves have more texture on them. They have more to them. Because, like, the last ones, they were just reusing the same models for, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
5-6 years. And so you could definitely tell that they were getting to the end of their rope. I think these models are very similar to the ones we have in Barbie Dreamhouse Adventures. Okay. But there's a little more oomph to them here than Dreamhouse Adventures that I work much better.
Yeah, I like the style here. They're going for almost like a cel-shaded kind of look. Not quite, but they aren't going for realism. They've kind of...
Even though there are some moments that could work for realism as well.
But yeah, the designs just have no edge to them.
You can tell that those are the characters for the most part.
Yeah.
I think they do a solid job at trying to reinvent them without fully getting rid of those aspects. But those original designs are just so iconic that it's a little odd to see at first, for sure.
Yeah. I think for me, again, it's kind of down to, I don't know, it just feels Disney-fied. Like,
I can see that.
Too cutesy. Whereas, like, I'm not a huge fan of the previous designs, but there was a bit more edge in those designs. Here it just feels, and I think that was the big complaint with this reboot overall, is that it felt like they were skewing younger and less sort of out there.
Less, more gothic, Hot Topic, more I guess, cute
Hot Topic. Yeah.
Chibi. Not quite chibi, but...
Heading that direction, definitely.
Right. More adorables. More The Sims.
You know? Yeah.
It can... more to, like, appeal for a wider audience than one specific demographic that worked for them the most.
Yeah. It feels like, yeah, they've gone from the counterculture to the mainstream.
Yeah.
And I think this could have been done better. I think G3 introduces some better designs. I'm looking that up right now before I say anything I shouldn't. Not Monster Hue. I keep doing that when I type Monster. Hi. Yeah, I mean, they're a little bit better than the G2 designs. Oh, yeah, like the Ghoulia G3 looks pretty solid.
Yeah, and toys and animation don't always reflect things as well, but...
Yeah.
It was refreshing just to see much more detail to some models, but yes, it was a little jarring to see
at first. And more color.
Yeah, lots more color.
I wish they had kept some of that edge though. Like, give us the color to contrast with the edge.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was surprised by how many action scenes there were here.
Hmm.
Which, it's cool to see all of the monsters using their unique powers, but I don't know. Laguna's skateboard? I get that it's surfing, but the thing is, these are horror monsters. Horror monsters aren't generally action heroes.
I suppose, but we are at this point, like, during the height of, like, superhero genre, like the MCU, so.
Yeah, this does feel very MCU-ish in how each of them have their powers and...
Mm-hmm. Claudine can turn into a wolf.
Yep.
Which is... I don't... Okay.
a very cutesy wolf, though.
Yeah. Little cutesy wolf. You were saying also in your notes that there's less spooky. The only real spooky scene we have is with Monica and our first glimpse of Frankie in the house. And that's about it. Everything else is just normal.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel torn on the visuals. Because, yeah, the quality is so much better, but the designs just aren't up to snuff. So I gave the visuals a 2.5 out of 5.
Yeah, the designs didn't really bother me that too much. For the most part, they were semi-consistent. But so I gave it a 3.7 because it was just a big upgrade overall.
Now, onto the performances, we actually have... mostly the same cast here.
We don't have Kate Higgins as Frankie.
Yeah.
But her replacement does a really solid job. There were some moments where I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't quite sound like Frankie. But, like, she does a good job in most moments where it's like, okay, yeah, I can hear Frankie. We forgot to mention this in the last film because we probably didn't notice this, but Laguna in Scarier Reef was replaced with a different actress. And she is here as well for this film. For her short moments.
Yeah, not a ton of lines for her to say. The one performance here that really stood out to me was Christina Milizia as Monica. Just so much fun. I mean, these villain roles are often where... actors get to kind of let loose. And I thought she really ran with that opportunity.
I will say, though, that we were talking about how the film doesn't have... We're trying to find this person. Any of, like, our characters, like Ghoulia, Abby, others like that. And we don't have Aaron Fitzgerald in this film as well.
Yeah.
Who voices most of those characters. So, I don't know if that was purposeful to not include them because of her, or just a state of why. I don't know. But that is what I have to say about that. I mean, everybody does a solid job overall, so.
I gave the performances a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, same.
Now, last up, we have sound.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say this new soundtrack is a bit of a mixed bag. Some of the songs are really good. We have some very cinematic songs, like when Draculaura and Dracula are flying for the first time.
Yeah.
But I would say that the rest are forgettable, and there's a one song... Need to look at what I wrote in my notes because I couldn't find it afterwards. That was just horrendous. I'm curious if you know the one I'm talking about. It was played at like
song or
song.
Okay.
I don't know the title, but it's something like Go Monster High. And it was so bad.
I didn't really love the songs at all. Okay. So.
Yeah.
But one thing about the sound of this film is that I don't know if it was just the version I watched, but the mixing was way off.
Oh.
Like the sound design, just you have the music in a lot of scenes, which is low. You have odd audio choices where it doesn't feel like it's part of the scene. It just didn't sound right. You have quiet moments that are way too quiet than they should be. There's just something that doesn't match or fit. Maybe the final mix just didn't work out. But yeah, it was very distracting.
Very. Yeah. Hard. I didn't notice any of that, so I do wonder. This one is another one of these that we talked about a few episodes ago that is just really difficult to find.
Yeah, no, this one was much more difficult to find because nobody likes this one, so they're not trying to find ways to show people. So
yeah, I don't know what you did, but I finally broke down and did a free week trial of Paramount Plus on YouTube, like, even though I already have Paramount Plus.
Why is it not on Paramount Plus? Yeah.
It's just Paramount Plus on YouTube. It's not available to purchase anywhere. It's just that one way.
It's so odd. Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder if these last few Monster High movies are going to go the way of
the live action Barbie is on Diaries. Paramount Plus. So we just have one more one to fight with.
Yeah, hopefully Electrified is easier to find.
I don't have hopes for though, so we'll see.
But yeah,
I had issues with the way the sound was done. Maybe that was just the version I was watching. I don't think so though. It sounded like somebody was an intern and doing their very best, and they were trying. But
yeah.
It was very noticeable.
Well, yeah. I gave the sound a 3 out of 5.
I gave it a 2.9.
Well, yeah. That leaves my final score as a 14 out of 25, which is a 56% oof, and a 2.8 on our 5-star scale.
And I have a 16, which is a 64% or 3.2 5-star rating.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I was much more engaged just to see how different it was, but it is a little jarring how different it is.
Yeah.
Which is how generations go, of course.
Well, yeah, hopefully next one is a little bit better. I think if they can work out some of the character issues, that'll help things.
Yeah, let's not focus too much on romance next time.
Well, yeah, thank you everyone for listening. Make sure to follow us on social media. We are Binging Barbie Podcast on Instagram and Tumblr, Binging Barbie on Twitter and Serialized, and Binging Barbie, a Barbie movie podcast on Letterboxd. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave a 5-star review.
We also will check out our Patreon as well.
Oh, yes, yes. We've been forgetting to plug that. I should edit that into more of our episodes. But yeah, we will be back next week to talk about Monster High Electrified. And until then, don't kidnap any pop stars.
Who turn out to be ghosts.
Bye, Barbie.
Bye, Barbie.